Thank you, Father, that your word is the truth, and it's the truth that sets us free. Amen. Well, Andrew's preached quite a lot of my sermon today, so here we go. This is just a rerun of what God is saying. Some weeks ago, in the message, I was reading John 3, and a section jumped out at me, and I thought, wow, that's powerful. And the words that came to me, or that were written in here, the invisible moving the visible, which is what we've been talking about, the spirit realm takes over the natural realm and changes it. Don't ask me how, but that's how God works. And God is spirit, and it's the spirit of God that we need to listen to and respond to. It's funny, I don't think the devil wanted us to get here today. Charlie didn't very often do this, but this morning he decided he wanted to wake me up at 4 o'clock. He wanted to go out, so I let him out, and he got wet through it, was tipping it down. So I dried him off and sent him back to bed. Well, he jumped on our bed. And I got back in bed, and then all of a sudden I thought, oh, I feel ugh. I thought, was it because I got woken up? You know, sometimes when you're taken by surprise, it leaves you feeling a bit woozy. So I laid there a bit, and I thought, no, no, no. And the next thing, I went red hot from top to bottom, and I thought, quick, bathroom. I don't know which way it's coming, but there's something happening. And I sat on the edge of the bath for an hour and a half, and my wrists in cold water and a wet towel on my head to stop it getting hotter and hotter. And then I suddenly thought, Grace, what are you playing about at? The name of Jesus is higher than what's attacking you. So take authority. I've been studying this all week. Take authority and get rid of it. So I did exactly that. And then it started to back off. It just started to disappear. And I went back to bed. And by that time, Charlie wanted to go out again. But hey, we've been roaming around half the night, but we're here to tell the tale and shout the victory. Amen? Charlie's fine and I'm fine. And the word goes, yeah, and Andrew's fine. And the word goes forth in the name of Jesus. John 3. This is about Nicodemus. And in the message it says this. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you're absolutely right, take it from me. Unless a person is born from above, it's not possible to see what I'm pointing to God's kingdom. How can anyone, said Nicodemus, be born who has already been born and grown up? You can't re-enter your mother's womb and be born again. What are you saying with this born from above talk? Jesus said, you're not listening. Let me say it again. Unless a person submits to this original creation, so he's taking him back to creation, when the wind hovered over the waters and it breathed life into the waters, the invisible began to move on the visible. So the invisible began to move on the visible, and it was brought to life. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. The spirit realm overshadowing the natural realm. Praise God. And that's what Jesus was talking to Nicodemus about. So the spirit realm changing the natural realm. That's what's happening when God speaks. When he gives you a promise from his word, that promise is spiritual, and spiritual will move and hover over the natural and change it. Don't ask me how it happens. Jesus said to them, you see the wind, it comes and it blows through and it goes. You don't know where it came from or where it's going. And that's how it is with the spirit realm. It's not tangible. You can't see it. Well, you can't touch it, but you can see the effects of it. And that's what he was saying to him. He says, what you don't see moves what you do see. We know this for a truth, that light always overcomes darkness. It cannot stay in the presence of light. Every one of us is involved in the spiritual battle that is taking place in the heavenly realms, the effects of which we see happening globally all around us. When we were born again, we became involved in this spiritual battle, whether we like it or not. You realise that, don't you? You're in a battle every day, nearly. The devil wants to destroy. When we became born again, that's what we became involved in, a spiritual battle. Why? Because Christ lives in you. And the devil wants to destroy the Christ in you. That's his target. And his agenda is to kill, steal, and destroy. But we also know that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. So we need to know and remember that what's going on with us every day is a spiritual battle. Don't look at it naturally. Don't treat it naturally. Don't respond naturally. Take our authority in the spirit realm and deal with it there, and you will see the effects in the natural realm. You will see the spirit realm changing the natural realm. Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 18, it's the armour of God, and it's also called the armour of light, which is interesting. And I'll read it from the message because it's very striking. God is strong and he wants you strong. So take everything that the Master has set out for you, well-made weapons of the best materials, and put them to use so you will be able to stand up to everything the devil throws your way. Okay? This is no weekend war that we'll walk away from and forget about in a couple of hours. This is for keeps, a life or death fight to the finish against the devil and all his angels. Be prepared. You're up against more, far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help you can get, every weapon God has issued, so that when it's all over but the shouting, you'll still be on your feet. Have you got it? Use your spiritual weapons, and like I am this morning, I'm still here. I'm stood on my feet. I've had a battle, but I'm stood on my feet. Amen? And many of us, every day nearly, have a battle. But let me tell you, if you take your authority, if you stand in your authority, if the devil, when the devil realizes that he's fighting God, the God in you, he'll back off. But if you don't stand against him, he'll walk all over you and wipe the floor with you and do what he wants to do. We have the power and the authority in the name of Jesus to resist him. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Amen? So, it says truth are the weapons he's given you. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith and salvation are more than words. Learn how to apply them because you'll need them throughout your life. Amen? That's what the message says. And I think that's really where the rubber hits the road. Okay? This is not pie in the sky. This is life. This is truth. And this is the battle that we're in day in and day out. And you determine the outcome. If you sit there and you think, well, que sera, sera, what will be, will be. Well, that's what you'll get. And I don't want that. I know who I am, and I know my authority. And the devil needs to know that I know. Amen? One important promise Jesus gave to us in Luke 10 and verse 19. Look, I've given you all authority and all power over all the works of the enemy. And you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them, and nothing will injure you. Amen? Is anybody going to shout? Amen. Without a doubt, there'll be some bumps and bends in the road. I know that. I've had some ups and downs. There's been some bumps and bends. But when it's all over, bar the shouting, you'll be stood on your feet and you'll have won because you've taken your spiritual weapons that God has given you to use. Amen? The first one is the belt of truth. Every piece of armor is attached to this belt of truth. Truth is the foundation stone on which our faith is built. There can be no other foundation. Jesus Christ is the foundation stone. There is no other foundation than Jesus. He's the chief cornerstone on which the kingdom of God is built. The stone which the builders rejected, the builders were the Jews. The Jewish people rejected Christ. They said, crucify him, we don't want him. And they rejected him. And it is now in the new covenant, the new kingdom, this rejected stone has become the chief cornerstone. Wow. So the first weapon is the belt of truth. You need that buckled round you all the time. It says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You need to know the word of God, because for everything that comes against you, there is something in the word of God that will defeat the devil. We need to read this word and know it. Thy word is truth. The truth was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. Jesus came to show us how it's done. And he said, now you do it. You've seen me do it. You do it. I'm your example. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There's no other way to God, only through the truth of the word, and the word is Jesus Christ. He came and set the example. To know the truth, we have to know the truth. What is the truth? It's a vibrant living relationship with him, the truth. Hearing and obeying the voice of his spirit. The spirit gives life to the body. Amen. Read, how many times, I can't tell you, Tabs was saying something today. Yeah. She's got a battle on her hands. And God's really been good to her. He's keeping her on the straight and narrow. And when she was beginning to think a bit, I need to do something, God gave her a word of scripture that hit her right in just full force. It was like, shut up, sit down and listen. And she said, okay, God, I've heard you. I know, you're watching me every footstep. You'll get me where I need to be. And when I get it wrong, you don't condemn me, you just correct me. And you just reinforce to me that it's you that's doing it, not me. So, you know, he's got our case all the time. He never takes his eye off us. The Pharisees, they were full of religion. Jesus called them dead men's bones. And he called them also whitewashed sepulchres, because their religion was nothing but outward show, just man-made rules and regulations, empty philosophies that condemned everyone who didn't keep all 613 laws. Can you manage it? I'm going to fall flat on my face all day, every day. 613 laws, and some of them are utterly ridiculous, man-made laws. We could never do it, and that's why Jesus came. And it grieves me today that so many Christians who once seemingly walked with God have been deceived by the devil and become lukewarm, thinking they can walk the world's way and do their own thing. But you know, in Revelation 3, the church in Laodicea, they'd become rich in the world's eyes, but spiritually they were dead. And Jesus said, I'll spew you out of my mouth. We cannot walk our way. It has to be God's way. We cannot do our own thing. We cannot follow what the world says we should do. It doesn't matter whether you're unpopular. I don't care, tuppence. It's following God that is the most important thing. There can be no compromise. So the truth is the most important thing that we shall ever hear. The second piece of armour is the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate protects our heart, and it's the most vital organ in our body. And Proverbs 4 and verse 23 says, guard your heart above everything else, for it determines the course of your life. Wow. What does Jeremiah say? He says, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. You know, your heart, God sees your heart and he knows exactly what's going on in your life. You can't fool him. And so he says, guard your heart above everything else because it determines the course of your life. And Luke 6, verse 45 says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What's in your heart comes out of your mouth. And so you can't hide from it. You listen carefully to what people say and you think, uh-oh, there's a problem here. They've got it wrong. They've got it wrong way around. And they're spouting off and they're thinking they're making a good job of deceiving you. And you think, no, your mouth just said it all. You know? When we were talking to Emma yesterday, bless her heart, my heart goes out to her. But, you know, she's been under that much pressure. She's just cracked. And now she needs some TLC. Because her heart is broken. We invite Jesus into our hearts. Well, let's go back to, the breastplate of righteousness. The thing that is most important, and I speak from experience here, is that we know who we are in Christ. When I found out who I was in Christ, I got plugged in and I've never unplugged. But up to that point, a lot of it that I was being sold was religion and law and legalism. But as soon as I heard grace, and as soon as I heard of the vastness of that grace and how that I'm Christ and it's his righteousness, it's my righteousness is as filthy rags, but I stand in the righteousness of Christ. It's not about what I've done or haven't done. It's about what he's done, and that's my righteousness. That's because I'm accepted, because I stand in complete in him. We used to sing that song, didn't we? Complete, complete, I stand complete in him. And we do. It's all about what he's done, because your righteousness is filthy rags. It's useless. So in John 17 and verse 22 and 23, it says, Jesus says this, I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me. Christ is in me and I'm in him. And there's no demon in hell can ever take me out. I am secure in that relationship. He is my righteousness. I'm always accepted when I go before the Father. When I wake up every morning and I lay my head to rest every night, I'm accepted, I'm loved, and nothing that I can do will ever change that. Only if I decide I'm going to walk away. And then God gives, you've got a free will. You just have to turn round and come back. But then when you come back, his arms are wide open and you are fully restored to where you should be. So, John 17 and verse 3 says this. And this is eternal life, that they might know me, be intimately acquainted with me, the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom thou sent. Oh, that's lovely. That's eternity. It's as simple as that. It is relationship, knowing God through Jesus Christ. So that's our righteousness that protects our heart. That's the second piece of armour. The third piece is our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Peace is the very person and character of Jesus. Galatians 5:22, that's the fruit of the Spirit. He is the fruit of Spirit, of the Spirit, the personal embodiment of the fruit of the Spirit. And peace is his very nature. The devil will try and disturb your peace constantly. Experience that? Worry, anxiety, stress, doubt, fear, they're all his favourite weapons. He's got no new tricks. But we diffuse these weapons by Isaiah 26 and verse 3. And it says this, Isaiah says, thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. Trust him. Everything that's troubling you, just pray about it. Give it to God and trust him to deal with it. He will deal with it. And you know when you've given something to him, because there'll be such a peace in your heart and you think, well, I don't understand this, but I know everything's going to be all right. And sometimes then I'll pick up my Bible and next morning there's this beautiful verse that just confirms everything I've done and everything I've heard. And God is saying, just rest, just rest. Isaiah 25 and verse 4 says this, for thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in their distress, a refuge from the storm and a shadow from the heat. Give everything to God and trust him to resolve the situation and then rest. Rest in him. Let him do the work. You know, we carry the greatest message of all time, the gospel, the good news. It's the gospel of peace. God loves you is the gospel in a nutshell. And it's our privilege to spread this gospel of peace wherever we go. If we have peace and joy residing in us, that will attract people that we meet. It's no good looking at people with a miserable face when you're out and about, because they'll think, well, I don't want what you've got. I've got something much better. They need to see the joy of the Lord and the peace of God residing within us, even during troublesome times. It may knock you for six for a bit, but you will get up and you will get over it and you will move on and you will get into victory. Amen? So, you know, we need to ask God to bring across our path those whose hearts that he's prepared
to receive the gospel, and they're the effective ones. The fourth item of weaponry and our armour is the shield of faith. When Paul wrote this passage, Roman soldiers carried shields that were covered with, I didn't know this, but they were covered with animal hide. And the reason for that was that before a battle, they dipped their shields into the water so that when the fiery darts hit them, they would be extinguished. That's why he uses the word extinguished, every fiery dart of the evil one. And that tells me that our shield of faith needs to be soaked in the water of the word so that it extinguishes every fiery dart that the devil fires at us. If you want some really good scriptures about how powerful the word is, there's lots of them in Psalm 119. And we studied some of these just recently in Bible study. And one of them says, "Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." It's full of scriptures about the power of the word for our everyday lives. So if you're really up against it, turn to Psalm 119. It'll keep you entertained for a while. It'll keep you quiet for a while. It'll keep you focused for a while. And when you come out of it, you'll come out shouting. Amen? Praise God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. It's the shield of faith, not the shield of fear. The greatest weapon the devil has is fear. He will immobilize you if he can get you afraid. He'll take you out. Always focus on what God says and you will stay strong. Never dwell on the problem. It will bring fear big style and you'll drop your shield. Focus on the word. The word is the antidote against the devil. The helmet of salvation is the next. It's the fifth item. Andrew's already said this. The greatest battle that ever takes place is up here. The fanatic in the attic, oh, how he loves to show you and tell you all the lies that the devil has just gone and aimed at you. That's where the battle rages, and that's where we need to make the right choices. As Andrew said, shut him up, shut the fanatic in the attic up, and listen to the fella in the cellar, because the fella in the cellar is the Spirit of God and he's telling you the truth. So you listen to the word of God. Colossians 3 and verse 2 say, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. Refuse to entertain every thought that the devil brings into your mind that doesn't line up with scripture. And then get scripture and speak it out and shout it at him. And you know what you've just done? You've launched the greatest weapon that will hit bullseye and knock him out. He hates the word of God. And the word of God in your mouth is as powerful as the word of God in his mouth. And so it's effective every time you use it against the devil. Hit him good and hard with it, because he hates the word of God. And it will put him out completely. Romans 12:2 says, don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will. Line your thoughts up with God's thoughts and you're home and dry. Amen? Your helmet of salvation will protect you in its entirety. The sixth item of our weaponry is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And the word of God actually applies in every other one of the weaponry that we have got, our armour the Word of God appears in it constantly. It runs through with every part of our armour. It's connected with every part of our armour. The sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. This is the only piece of armour that is both defensive and offensive. It will protect you like a shield, and it will fire a bullet at the devil that will put him out. Amen? So it does two things. It's a two-edged sword. We know that. When Jesus was tempted by the devil, he answered him with what? The Word of God. It is written. It is written. And I like this translation. I've not heard of it before, but it's Matthew 4 and verse 4. And it's the English Revised Version. And this Matthew 4, it translates as, Jesus answered him, the scriptures say that it's not just bread that keeps people alive. Their lives depend on what God says. Amen? So you find out what God says, you fire it at the devil, you put him out, you've got peace and you've got victory. It's as simple as that. Amen? Praise God. Well, I think it's good. We're no match for the devil, but the Word of God will destroy his lives immediately. And then finally, Paul says in this passage, prayer is essential. Pray for your brothers and sisters. And I thank God, because that's what we've been doing today. The body in unity. You know, I love this because this describes what's happening here. Keep a watch for each other and encourage one another. We're all part of the same body. Care for it and protect it. Don't cause division. A kingdom divided cannot stand. Unity is essential. Amen? I love that. Very often, Marty Gabler from America will put something on my Facebook. And yesterday he put this on. And I know I keep saying it, but this just lit my blue touch paper because it just confirmed everything that was in my spirit. So I'll read it to you because this sums up where we're at. He put, we live in this time in history because God has ordained it. Oh, another one. No. We live in this time of history because God has ordained it so. And he also ordained the days to come for his name's sake. Psalm 23 and verse 3. Listen to this bit. It's not our purpose in living to simply observe the tide. The tide of circumstances. But to turn the tide. Amen? We don't live so that we might observe history taking place, but we observe it that we might make history. Psalm 106 in verse 8 in the Amplified says, nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his supreme power known. He wants the world to see his supreme power. And how's he going to do it? Through you and me. Exodus 9 and verse 16 in the Amplified. I believe this must have been to Moses. But indeed, for this very reason, I've allowed you to live. In order to show you my power and in order that my name might be proclaimed throughout all the earth. He's allowed us to live that we might proclaim his power throughout all the world. Psalm 145, verses 10 to 12 in the Amplified. Your godly ones bless you. Though they speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power, to make known to the sons of men your mighty acts and the glorious majesty of your kingdom. That's what we're here to do, to make known to the sons of men God's mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. To summarise, we live in a world that's in turmoil and it's truly lost its way. But we're empowered to change its trajectory, okay? We make a difference as God opens the doors. So let's take up the challenge and use all the weapons of God that he has given to us to be a powerful people, establishing the kingdom of God in intake and beyond, because that's what God's called us to do. Amen. Praise God. It just excited me, this, and I thought, yes, yes, yes. God has empowered us. He's given the armour of light to us. We're in a spiritual battle, but we need to know that the spirit realm moves the visible, natural realm. We've got to be a people of the Spirit. We've got to be full of the Spirit. We've got to be flowing with the Spirit. We've got to be reading the Spirit, and we've got to be translating that Spirit out there, and wherever God takes us, wherever our footsteps go, God has ordained them. So be it, Lord. Use me. I'm available. Let's go for it. In Jesus' name. Amen.